Greetings and good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is Saturday, June 16th, 2018. A wonderfully sunny but way too hot day here in Nashville. Today's program is going to be a little bit of a change of pace. Rather than focusing, as we often do, on the natural environment, today we will be focusing on the built environment, more particularly on the main streets and courthouse squares of rural Tennessee. The completion of the interstate highway system and the concurrent development of big box stores, shopping malls, and fast food restaurant franchises has had a deleterious effect on the traditional main streets of Tennessee and of many other states. Many of the traditional businesses that would occupy main streets either closed up shop or moved out to the interstate exchange, leaving behind the elegant historic buildings that we find in downtown Tennessee. As a programmatic method to address this problem, the Main Street Program was established by the National Trust for Historic Preservation back in the late 1970s. It first came to Tennessee in about 1983. Commissioner Charles Howell, and then the Commissioner of the Department of Conservation, was responsible for bringing it to Tennessee. Ann Toplevich, now the Executive Director of the Tennessee Historical Society, was the state's first Main Street coordinator. Yesterday, I traveled to Lebanon, Tennessee, a small city about 30 miles east of Nashville, and I spent some time with Kim Parks. Kim is the Executive Director of Historic Lebanon and the manager of the City of Lebanon's Main Street program. As you will hear, Kim and the City of Lebanon are doing a remarkable job in preserving the authenticity of their city and saving these historic structures. And so I hope you will enjoy my interview with Kim Parks. So Kim Parks, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thank you.
So we're out here in scenic Lebanon, Tennessee, very close to the town square here.
Yes.
And thank you for having us out.
Well, thanks
appreciate
for inviting
very much.
Me, and thanks for coming over.
Kim, I want to talk at length today about you, what you're doing here in Lebanon and the Tennessee Main Street program to the extent you can talk about what's going on
okay.
on a statewide basis.
Okay.
Before we do that, tell our audience a little bit about you and how you came up in life and were trained okay. and how you got into this position.
Okay. Well, I am a seventh generation Tennessean. My family got to Wilson County very early on, and we stayed. I have lived in Lebanon and in Knoxville, and I lived in Florida a very brief amount of time. But I went to college in Murfreesboro at MTSU, and I have a degree in interior design and a minor in historic preservation.
Okay.
But my grandparents owned a farm that their family had for a very long time. So I just thought people grew up with old stuff. So I've always been interested in it and interested in the story behind the objects. So I think preservation's just a part of me. So I've always been interested in it. And then after college, I had design work. And then I was asked to volunteer on the Historic Lebanon Board. And so I was interested in it. So I did. And some people say I have a strong personality. So I speak my mind sometimes. So they asked me to be board chair, which I was, and then the opportunity came up where we could have a paid executive director, and I was hired as that the fall of 2012.
So your training at MTSU, was that as part of the Center of Excellence in Historic Preservation
yes.
out there?
Yes,
all
yes
right.
it was.
Well, that's a very well-regarded mm-hmm. program, and we see their graduates in positions all across the state.
All across. They have yeah. been so influential on lots of projects. And Carol Van West, you know, is the director now.
Right.
He's the state historian. And when I first came on board of Historic Lebanon, I went and talked to him about things we needed to be doing and his kind of perspective on it. And his quote was, "Lebanon has been studied enough. It's time for y'all to do something." And that's always been kind of his mantra, boots on the ground. Let's get something done. Just quit studying it and do it. So that fits well with me, too. So,
you know, the problem that many communities face in Tennessee, and of course we have 95 counties and each county, for the most part, has a little central square, and
mm-hmm.
You know, with the exception of perhaps the urban counties, but Lebanon is a very typical in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
When the interstate highways were built, and they bypassed all these little town squares that had established businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the businesses moved out to the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the experience?
Yes. Well, you have to kind of take the context of what was going on. There's a great slide I've seen in several presentations of Mrs. Concrete and Mrs. Asphalt, and they're like cutting ribbons for all the new interstate systems.
Oh, yes.
So we're after World War II, so we have all these new products. Everybody's done without for so long. They want everything new. And so they don't want the old town squares. They want to build new subdivisions. They have new roadways to do. So kind of everything old got put on the back burner, except maybe in towns that actually didn't have any money. And sometimes poverty is a friend of preservation for a while because it just keeps things in place and people aren't improving. But Lebanon suffered that. That's why one whole quad of our square is gone. Because in 67, a local bank and community members bought all the properties and tore them down because they were going to build a new shopping center there.
Okay.
And it's where the Burger King is now. That's why Burger King's on our square, because that plan didn't work out. They ended up donating that land to the city, which created a park. And then in the 80s...
Oh, that little park area.
Yes.
Okay.
They sold the land to... part of the land to Burger King.
Okay.
And so it's just one of those stories of everybody wants something new. And then actually, before, you know, the National Preservation Act, I think it's 67, before then there were incentives to tear down old buildings. There weren't incentives to save. So, you know, you just have, it was just a mindset. But thankfully, I think we've gotten away from that.
And so we had cities all across the state with really boarded up and empty storefronts in most of these town squares, which I know was the reason why the Tennessee Main Street program was started.
Right, exactly.
I guess the National Trust for Historic Preservation, it was an initiative of theirs.
It was, and it was the National Main Street was part of the National Trust until maybe 3 years ago, and then they separated out. The Main Street organization, I think, had just gotten large enough to be on its own, so now it's its own entity, but it's still in partnership with the National Trust.
So what is the goal then of what you're doing here with the Main Street program?
In a nutshell, we want to use historic preservation for positive economic development, because if you can't show how historic preservation contributes to a better economic climate, then you really can't get a lot of support. So the goal is to preserve what makes Lebanon unique. We don't want to be Franklin. We don't want to be Gallatin. We don't want to be Charleston. We want to be the best Lebanon that we are. We want to preserve our unique history and our unique buildings. And so I think that's the goal of every Main Street. We don't want to be a cookie-cutter Disneyland version of historic preservation. So you have to really take a good look at your community, learn your history, learn what's important to the people in your community, and just make it authentic. And then have local guidelines in place that protect your buildings, have local programs in place that promote your downtown area where people will come, and then the rest of it kind of works itself out.
So you're having to be a liaison, of course, with your mayor and city council.
Yes.
And so what steps has city council taken to help protect those properties downtown?
Well, when we first, Lebanon had been in the Main Street program in the 90s. And then when the program was done away with, we didn't come back as a Main Street. So it was a long time coming back. In 2013, we got back into the Main Street program. And so they were very supportive of our application. We had to have their support to apply. They give us some funding every year, and which is essential. And we have been working on historic design guidelines. Lebanon we've had none. So we have three residential design districts now, and they are working right now on a design overlay for the public square.
Okay, so is there a historic preservation board or zoning?
Yes, commission? Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so have they've actually adopted those standards for the residential
areas?
For
the residential, yes.
But not for the central business?
Not for the central yet.
Okay.
The the city council approved the creation of the Historic Zoning Commission, I believe it was in November of 2013. And then since then, they have brought in three residential districts. Two are smaller. One is very large. It's the neighborhoods all around Cumberland University.
I was going to say,
really,
yes.
That's the last one, and that's a very large one. The first two are smaller, just single
streets. You've got some classic, beautiful neighborhoods in Lebanon. And I was thinking right around Cumberland University is one.
And just in general, you need that. And it was a very large and still is learning curve because people are like, well, there's nothing historic going on here. Well, that's not the point of a historic district. The point of a historic district is to save the neighborhood, the essence of the neighborhood as a whole. People want to live in a historic area because they're old houses and they have sidewalks and you're close to downtown. And there are empty lots in these spaces. You want to be able to protect what's built there. And so that's one of the main goals, I think, of historic zoning is to control infill and of course, to control improper additions and things like that. But it doesn't control anything on the inside. It's just what you can see from the street.
Now, you kind of have a dual role here with Historic Lebanon Association and the Main Street program.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
Your focus is not strictly on the Main Street, but you mm-hmm. go citywide.
Right,
okay.
Right.
But let's focus then on downtown
mm-hmm.
for a second. You,
okay.
As far as land ownership in the downtown area, mm-hmm. Is it many different owners or do we have just a few owners?
Now it's many different owners. When we first started in 2013, we had what is very typical in small towns is you had four or five families that owned most of the properties. And they had inherited them, and there wasn't a lot of change in ownership. In 2014, the TDOT did a safety project on our square that reconfigured our roundabout. It took the parking from the interior and put it back in the four corners like it had been for years.
Okay.
So that really helped with pedestrian safety. So that got more people out of their cars shopping, and it just put a lot of focus on our square, which we had been trying to do. So some ownership changed. New businesses came in. And so we've had a lot of new ownership, new businesses. We're utilizing the upstairs floors of the buildings for business. We have one residential loft now.
Wow.
Which is fantastic. You know, I want more of those. We want living in our downtown. So
as I walked around the square mm-hmm. this morning mm-hmm. before coming to meet you, I noticed that you just had one or two empty
storefronts. Yeah.
The most interesting that I saw was the old arcade.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had not been in before.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be occupied, or is that just used as an event space?
It's event space, and it has the architect firm is in there.
Okay.
And the downstairs space is not occupied.
Okay.
They're prepping it for a restaurant. So hopefully that will happen this year.
Definitely smells, the smells of
yes.
new work going
yes.
on in there.
And they have made one of the upstairs rooms or space has smaller offices, and I think there's an attorney in one of them and a therapist. So I think there's five little offices, mini offices in there. So
what has been your role in terms of promotions?
We do, we've done events on the square. We sponsor, the merchants kind of have organized themselves, and they have little events called Rock the Block. I help if they say, hey, we need some money for a band. I'm like, we'll help you sponsor the band. And I'm not trying to be hands-off, but they need to organize themselves, and I'm in a support role. We do that. I have a marketing campaign that includes our downtown and Main Street program. We have a very nice brochure with a map with all the businesses listed that's online, and it's in kiosks on our square and at City Hall.
So where can a listener find that online?
It's at our website, which is historiclebanon.com.
All right.
And again, they're in kiosks at the square and at City Hall. I advertise in like the Busy Bee Trader, which is somebody who follows antiques and different things. We do advertising in that, advertising our Main Street. We have a historic driving tour, which the brochure is again on the kiosks. And it centers on our square, but then it goes countywide. So you can walk part of it and then drive part of it. And so we do that for promotion. We're actually on the cover of the Tennessee Civil War Trails brochure.
Well, tell me more about that.
Well, you know, Tennessee has a great Civil War Trails program, and their brochure is our Nettie Jacobs Cabin, which is on the cover. So I have those in our kiosks, too. And there are several sites in Lebanon, the Hatton House, the Hatton Statue, or Cedar Grove Cemetery, all those are in there. So I try to make all those available just to get people here. And then we, as far as promotion, we have several new subdivisions in town. I know Stonebrook, they come and get our brochures and they put packets together for new visitors. The chamber does that. The school teachers, when they go to recruitment events, they use our materials. So we try to do lots of different avenues of people knowing what we are.
Excellent. Tell me what services the State Main Street Program Office provides to cities like Lebanon.
Well, they offer a lot of training, which we have quarterly management meetings, which we get together and kind of talk about what everybody else is doing. They offer access to grants. We have two grants for them right now. One is a facade improvement grant, which was a $100,000 grant we got to give out to property owners on the square. We can talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
And then they have an entrepreneur grant, which we got, and we're creating an entrepreneur center on the square.
Okay.
So they offer grant money, they offer training. They give you added weight to your cause. When you're part of the Tennessee Main Street program, that means something to people. And it gives you, I think, a better seat at the table with your city officials and your county officials. It adds some weight to your resume. It's like, well, you know, and we have to pass our state accreditation each year. We have to national accreditation. So we gather statistics on, local investment, number of new businesses, number of new jobs, volunteer hours, things like that. So,
well, you were going to tell us about the facade improvement.
That was granted in the last of 2016. So with the state, it takes a little while for paperwork to get done. So we actually, we had a community committee that I was not a voting member of because I was the liaison to everybody applying. So I did not vote on the applications, but we had community members and we took applications, and the work could be done on the facade, just the facade of the building, not the roof and not for engineering. And the point we got to decide what our main focus of that was, and it was to improve buildings that had not been occupied or had for quite a while and were kind of bringing down all the buildings around them.
Okay.
So the five buildings that got the grants, one's going to be a restaurant, one's already opened as a coffee shop, and they have a vintage market upstairs. One is the residential loft, and they have a boutique downstairs. The other is a CPA office, and they have a yoga studio upstairs. So all of these buildings, some of them have been empty for 20 years, and they had aluminum storefronts on them. One of them had a plant growing in the middle of it. So we tried to take those buildings and put them back into active use. So I'm very proud of doing that with those five grants. Now, some of the other communities that got grants spread it out more, but we thought for us at this time, the bigger the impact we could have. And that impact has been really good because last year in 2017, we had 22 building rehab projects on our square.
My goodness.
Just from like maybe painting something to totally redoing things. So that is a huge number of projects to have in 1 year. So
that really, and you were talking about the statistics that you keep, and I want to hear some about
mm-hmm.
that because if these buildings are unoccupied,
mm-hmm.
Obviously it doesn't look good, but they're going to be torn down eventually if they're not
mm-hmm.
used, and you end up having the tax rolls
exactly.
diminished.
Right.
So it's to the benefit of the community to get these buildings in use.
I can't ever get this in my head right, but there is a like infographic called The Cost of an Empty Building that goes through all those steps that it, you know, you're missing out this much on sales tax that could be generated, on property tax, the benefit to the buildings beside of it for the traffic that it draws. So when you have an empty building, it is very detrimental to the businesses around it. And so I was really happy to put these back in.
So because our listeners are from all mm-hmm. around a lot of different places,
mm-hmm.
Lebanon is not a great big city. I mean, is the city population 15 or 20,000?
No, it stayed at 20,000 for a really long time. Okay. In the last 5 years, we are up to 32,000.
Okay.
All the Nashville growth is, we're getting
moving
that too.
Moving your way.
So,
okay.
But, and countywide too, but our city has grown quite a bit rapidly in the last 5 years, but for a very long time, we were around 20,000.
Right. That's the figure that I had in my mind. And so what kind of impact have you had with numbers of jobs and that sort of thing?
Well, we have found a lot of people would like to work from home, you know, because, you know, the commute into Nashville or wherever gets worse and worse every day. We find a lot of people come from the counties east of us into Lebanon to work because there's several manufacturing. You know, we have Amazon, we have Aldi's warehouse, all those places are in Lebanon. So we get a lot of people east of here coming. So we are their big city that they come to, and that's grown a lot. So our housing has grown, and that was why it was so important for us to get historic zoning, because change is coming, and if you're not on top of it, it's just going to roll right over you.
Exactly.
So, and I do think maybe that's helped our cause of historic preservation a little bit, because people want to retain that small town feel, and if they were feeling like that all this was going to go away because our population was increasing. So I think that has helped in our cause of people kind of latching on, going, no, we want to keep that. We want to have our square. We want it to be successful. So
have you been able to tally the number of new jobs and that sort of thing that are a result of the activities of the Main Street program?
I can give you last year's statistics just off the top of my head. If you give me a little bit of time, I could give you the last 4 years. But 40 new jobs last year.
Okay.
And these are net figures. And let me explain a little bit. Our Main Street district focuses on the square, but we go out a couple blocks in each direction. So
sure.
It's not just our square.
Right.
This includes some county courthouses. It includes our new Veterans Museum, which is next to the county courthouse. It includes the mill, which is our old woolen mill that's been reused, adaptive reuse. And it goes up and touches the corner of Cumberland University because it's only two blocks from our square. And we're really trying to increase that connection between its students and our square. So 40 new jobs, 22 new businesses, or 20 new businesses and 22 building rehabs. A little over $6 million in local investments in our Main Street district. And that includes over $1 million in our new Veterans Museum that
That's
we have.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah.
How many communities are there now in Tennessee that are Main Street?
I think there are 34.
Okay. Obviously spread all across the state.
Yeah.
Are they having the same sort of experience?
I know the ones in Middle Tennessee are. I think some of the more rural areas, especially maybe rural West Tennessee, they are, and there's a big focus on them to help them develop their story. I know they're developing a music trail. The Tennessee Department of Tourism is doing that, but that ties in with getting people into these historic areas. So they're maybe having a little harder time finding their voice, and maybe change isn't coming to them as rapidly, but I do think people are seeking authentic towns and authentic experiences, and we certainly have that in these smaller towns. And there's one in East Tennessee. Is it Ewing, Tennessee?
Oh, Irwin, Tennessee.
Irwin, yeah, yes. Yeah. Are tiny, but they have tapped into kind of their outdoor gateway type, and it's working great for them. So
Irwin is in Unicoi County, way up east,
mm-hmm.
and it is really one of the cutest little towns. And it's right next to the Cherokee National Forest, and in fact is adjacent to one of our newest state parks, which is Rocky Fork State Park, a beautiful, beautiful area. Irwin used to have a fish hatchery in town, and the fish hatchery was federal, and it's no longer in a fish hatchery, but they converted it into a little city park there.
See, which is great.
Yeah. So it's I'd encourage your listeners to check Irwin out. Happens to be the place where they hung the elephant.
Yeah,
too,
I know.
Which is a story we probably should not get into.
They had we have a national Main Street conference that I went to this year in Kansas City, but the manager from Irwin was there.
Okay.
So we were talking about they have embraced that.
Right.
And they have tried to turn it into raising money to help elephants, and they did like an elephant walk.
Good for them.
So they're trying to take a new spin on it, and I think it was very successful for them.
Good for them.
So,
and I noticed that Etowah is a Main Street community now, and I've heard that they are really, really doing very well as far as their programming is concerned. I guess around the train station and the train culture that from Irwin.
And again, it's finding what is unique to your town and promoting that and learning to love it. Because being from Lebanon, I can say sometimes I think Lebanon suffers from low self-esteem. We for a long time, it's hard for people to accept that we're as good as maybe some of these other communities. And it's like, we are. We've got the same stuff. We just got to learn to love it and promote it. And I think sometimes maybe a little of that goes on in these towns. It's like, well, we'll never be Franklin. Well, you don't want to be Franklin. You want to be the best you.
What is the future for your historic Lebanon and the Lebanon Main Street program?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
All right.
Because I'm always full of plans. We are working on creating a walking trail between our public square and our Music City Star Station. The Music City Star Station is just maybe 2.5 blocks from the square. And there is a railroad track there, and it comes around. It's hard to describe without visuals, but it comes through the Mills property.
Okay, so the Music City Star is a commuter passenger railway that goes from Lebanon into downtown Nashville.
Yes.
During rush hour, one in the morning and the evening.
Right. And then they do specialty trains. You can go see the Nashville fireworks. You can go to Titans games, all kinds of stuff. So.
Okay, so you're doing what about that now?
We want to have a walking trail. There's not a dedicated walking trail now, so we want to create that. And it'll come into the square close to where our cabin is. And we have a little replica cabin on our square of an early settler. And our town spring is still right there under the buildings on the square. The whole reason Lebanon's sited where it is. And so if the trail can come into that area, we can make more of a little urban park there, tell the story of the spring, kind of make more sense of that whole area. So that's a big project that we're working on. And then I want us to have more public art. I want us to start the conversation about what is public art, who gets to decide what public art is, but we need some type of, we've gotten a new mural in town, which is great. You know, people love those as photo ops, but I want to have a plan for some public art and maybe an arts guild. I know Watertown has the Tennessee Arts Guild there, so I want to work with them on creating that. And we have a lot of creative people.
And Watertown is the neighboring community here in Lebanon, in Wilson County, just east of here on Route 70, I guess. Right.
And they've been, through the Main Street program, there's also something called the Tennessee Downtowns program, which is if you're not ready to be a Main Street program and you don't meet all the criteria, and they have just been named one of the Tennessee Downtowns programs. So I'm very excited about that for them. And what that does, I think it gives them a little bit of seed money, but it also helps them shape the process of how do we get the community together, how do we decide what we want to do, things like that. So they'll get a lot of guidance and training. So
you know, I think there may be people that listen to this program that know that I'm a conservationist, and may be struggling to understand what this has to do with conservation. And when I spoke with you on the phone to arrange this interview, you got so excited about that. Tell our audience about that.
Well, I think historic preservation is the ultimate conservation because it's the ultimate green activity. You're reusing resources. You're not having new, and you just it's hard to put into words because there's some things that are intangible that you get with a historic property that are worth saving, and it is about resources, but it's also just about the essence of your town that you need to preserve.
Right. Well, you know, when you conservation is the preservation or is the avoidance of waste.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get these buildings and they're torn down, it truly is. You're throwing a lot more away than just the bricks.
Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah. And that made me think, I was reading, we get little emails from the National Preservation, and there's some program in Maryland. They have a lot of abandoned buildings in the state, and they're using it for prisoner rehabilitation, where they salvage these buildings that are destined to be torn down, and then they salvage the materials out of them. So, you know, I hate to see stuff torn down, but at least maybe they're going to salvage some.
You know, I saw that come across my feed as well, yeah. and the Forest Service was involved with that.
Okay.
Because they're going in and they're actually capturing some of the old wood that had been used to build these old buildings, old chestnut and that sort of thing, and putting it to reuse.
So that's something, you know. You hate that they got in that state to begin with, but, you know.
Exactly. Well, Kim, thank you so much for spending a little time with us here today. And good luck with your program here in Lebanon. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming today, Mark. Mm-hmm.